You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Rita Zamora coming from Boulder, Colorado, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And I have a crazy huge treat for you. I have been trying to get her on the show forever. We finally got her. Rita Zamora, you do not want to miss this. She's one of the sweetest people in the whole entire world and one of the best when it comes to a non-negotiable in building a great dental practice, which is the marketing and social media. But before we get started, a couple show notes. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching it, if you have questions, add them to the feed, and I'll make sure that we ask Rita directly while you're on here, because I'm as confused as you are sometimes with social media. And I was telling her, I need your help. And she is awesome. You're going to love her. And she wrote a brand new book, which we're going to talk about, which is Get Found, Get Liked, Get Patients, Making the Most of Social Media, which is, it's a brilliant title, and every one of us needs help in that. And we're going to go through some of the details. Also, if you're watching this later on, feel free to add questions to the feed, and you're going to see Rita's really good on social media, and she'll be able to get back to you, because we want you to get the most out of this when you're doing this kind of education. Now, my guest today, Rita, I've had a chance to see you all the time. I mean, you're an incredible speaker, an incredible influencer in dentistry. But I really want you to tell your story, because you're not like just some marketing person. Like, there are some people, and it's not bad, good, or indifferent, but you actually have an incredible dental background before you became an authority in social media. Can you tell us your story? Like, I want people to know your story.
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much for asking. It's a pleasure to be visiting with you finally. I know we did finally connect. So people think that I am a marketing professional. And during my presentations, whenever I give live presentations, I always tell people I'm a dental person just like you. I sat in some of the same seats that, you know, some of you are sitting in, and people don't realize my evolution from working in a dental practice to where I am today as a speaker and a business owner in social media really started building patient relationships and building relationships with dentists many, many years ago when I worked in a specialty practice. I worked for a solo periodontist. When we started, there were like three team members. And when I left the practice over the course of many years, we had grown the practice together to five periodontists. There were over 20 team members. It was a huge, one of the biggest perio practice in Colorado at the time. So I got to learn a lot about business development and relationships, which is my favorite. During many years of case presentation, you really need to have some fine-tuned patient relations skills. And that's really what social media is all about, is relationships. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I love how you see this. Now, after you did that, just take us through a little bit of your journey. You have your own company, RitaZamora.com, and then tell us what you do. Like, I want you to share that with our audience.
Yeah, we actually are known for very highly customized social media content. So we help practices. We also work with several dental companies and dental consultants, some of the best in the industry. And we help them to craft their story month to month. So we talk about what your goals are. If you're a dentist or a specialist, you know, what are the procedures you want to be doing more of? Who's your ideal patient? If it's a dental business, we talk about what their goals are. And then we craft a story every month. We create their content, whether it's around different photos and or video or articles that they've written, rich content. And we provide it to them for approval. And then we post it. We create their Facebook or Instagram campaigns and kind of handle the whole kit and caboodle. And we also have just hourly training available for people who are DIYers or they're doing great and they just need, you know, some laser focus.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. Now, before we get into the how, because we're going to go through a lot of these details of what a dental practice should do in social media, let's talk about the why. Why is this such a hot topic and why is social media kind of a non-negotiable anymore? What are you seeing?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's really the way that we communicate today. It's a communication tool. And we see, because we're working with so many practices, we see that a large number of patients that are already spending their time on Facebook or Instagram. And it's easier for them to just message the practice from there. So they're asking a lot of questions like, you know, do you accept my insurance or do you have an appointment available this week? I'm a new patient. I'll put a smiley face emoji on there. You know, we get to see all of that type of interaction. But, you know, for practices that need a lot of data or want research to back this up, there's also a lot of research that's being done. There's been studies by Google that talk about, you know, Google commissioned a study. They wanted to know how people are searching for new products and services. So thinkwithgoogle.com has all of the research case studies that show people, even if they find your website, they're going to want some social proof. They're going to want to see reviews. They want to watch you on video. They want to see photos. They'll check with their social network. They might ask their neighborhood group if they've ever heard of you or who would they recommend. Mm-hmm. And even specific to dentistry, we've got a care credit study that was commissioned called The Path to Purchase. And the path to purchase is specific to healthcare. It's all healthcare providers. It shows the 5 steps that it takes to not only attract a new patient, but also have the patient become a patient, accept treatment, and pay for treatment. And 3 of those 5 steps involve tremendous research, research for finding the actual practice or the doctor, research about the treatment options, research about the payment options. You know, people are just doing a ton of research with, you know, their phone. It's very easy for them to do a ton of research very easily. So we have to have an abundance of information, including social proof and reviews about the practice available for people to be able to feel comfortable becoming a patient and accepting big treatment plans today.
Yeah. And they always, I've heard this said by so many people, the new word of mouth is word of thumb, you know, just because everybody's on there. And take us through this, because let's say if you're a mature dentist or a new dentist, I mean, where would I even start? Because I get these questions and I always just dish them to you. Like, do I start with a website? Do I do social media? Like, and you're a big fan of doing this authentically. Like, you got to have an authentic expression outward. So where would you get started when it comes to doing this on social media or web?
Yeah, well, because I kind of grew up in a dental practice, if you will, in my career, I always believe in doing whatever is in the best interest of the practice. So even though we love social media, sometimes we'll have dentists that come to us and they say, you know, we need to do social media. That's the missing link in our marketing. But we'll look at their website and it might be kind of a sad website or in need of updating, or maybe they've disclose that they're having some issues with treatment presentation or with case acceptance or phone skills or whatever. So we do refer out a lot for those really foundational type of things, that components that need to be in place before you start adding on other layers of marketing. So sometimes if those internal marketing skills and the website, which is kind of a foundational external marketing tool, aren't in place, then we refer them for help with that. Mm-hmm. And then we say, you know, once those are in place, then you can make the most of social media, which is, you know, starting to get better visibility and, you know, eventually driving traffic to your website and getting that social proof and so on. But for practices that are just getting started, you know, it just depends on whether you have those key components in place and established. And or sometimes people come to us and they say, we already have a Facebook page and an Instagram, but we haven't done anything with it. We don't know what to do next. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And Facebook is, we were talking before we went live, Facebook's changing the game because it's not the Facebook of old. You know, they've had their challenges. And now before, tell me if this is true, we used to be able to post whatever we wanted to, but now, and it would just kind of go everywhere. But now that's not the case, right?
Well, you can still post all that you want, but the visibility has, you know, gone down tremendously. It's really a pay to play game unless you are what I call a unicorn practice. And there are some unicorn practices out there that are so awesome and so unique that they're getting tremendous visibility and interaction. And Facebook, when you get tremendous, you know, engagement, people liking things and commenting, Facebook rewards you with more visibility because you're helping to keep people engaged on Facebook. Right. So that's awesome. But for the most part, for most of us, we have to pay to get some visibility on Facebook. And it might only be, you know, if you're just getting started, even a $50 per month budget. There are certainly practices that are spending hundreds or thousands of dollars on Facebook campaigns that are very sophisticated. But a lot of times the people that are coming to us are just getting started or wanting help to get to the next level and need some help figuring out how the pay-to-play system works. So that's one of the big things for Facebook. And it'll be coming soon for Instagram too, because as more people move over to Instagram, and as it gets more popular, eventually it's going to be pay to play on Instagram too.
Yeah. And you think everybody's got to be on Instagram? Is that generational, or is it just picking up speed, and is it going to surpass these? Because Facebook's publicly come out and said they're going to go all chips in on video, right? Like, kind of. I don't know. I'm asking you. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all speculation. Only Facebook knows what they're going to do next, but they definitely have the power and the ability and the experience to keep evolving and staying relevant. They've got the hugest, you know, set of eyeballs. The biggest group of people are spending time on Facebook, but Instagram continues to grow. It certainly is millennial heavy. But we've seen more and more different generations of people that are starting to get active with Instagram, whether they be younger than millennials or, you know, baby boomers. So with all of the turbulence that Facebook went through recently with the privacy issues and things like that, I think it just drew more people to Instagram. So I think you need to have both. It's kind of like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. You just have both of them. They work great together. Facebook owns Instagram. And so your ads that you place on Facebook oftentimes can be utilized on Instagram as well. So you get more bang for your buck. So I think you really need to have both today. And especially if you want to look current, you need to have both.
Yeah. And where does Twitter fit in there other than just like taking television shows off the air and things like that? Like, is Twitter a strong component of this? Obviously it is, but is it growing? Is it not growing in dentistry?
Yeah, I think, you know, I still enjoy Twitter on occasion, but I think Twitter is trying to find its place and where it fits in exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be changing some of what they're doing as well. All the social media platforms, you may have noticed, have updated their privacy policies and really paying attention to it after, you know, what Facebook's gone through. And I think that we're seeing more and more changes away from Twitter when it comes to the same thing that's happening on Instagram today happened on Twitter. If you remember the early days where people would follow you just to kind of get, you know, a set of quick eyeballs on their URL, and then they'd automate their Twitter, you know, posts. So they weren't even really on there interacting with other people. And so I think that unfortunately Twitter's trying to find its place. And for dental practices, most dental practices and specialists aren't going to benefit by spending a lot of time on Twitter. You can certainly set it up, the account, and put your bio information and a link to your website. But if you have, you know, resources that are limited, which we all do, then look at those other platforms that are going to provide a better return for you and better, bigger benefits, which are Facebook and Instagram and possibly LinkedIn if you're a specialist. And if you're an orthodontist or another particular type of practice, maybe even Snapchat, which is crazy, but that's where we're at.
Right. I don't even know how to use that either, but you think that'll be a strong component here in the future too, right?
Well, we have to see, because Instagram keeps replicating some of Snapchat's key features. And so a lot of the people that were using Instagram have really begun using Instagram more, Instagram stories. And so time will tell. We'll have to see financially how stable Snapchat will be long term, and if they can continue to evolve to remain unique and relevant. So we'll see.
Right. Now, I'm going to highly suggest that everyone gets your book, because it took you, this is a labor of love. You finally got it done. And actually, we have one viewer that says, I pre-ordered Rita's book. When does it ship? Is it shipping pretty soon?
Yes, actually. We have finally got the book revised and launched, and so it's ready to go. I will be mailing you a few copies,
Kurt. All right. So if I want to get found, let's start with some of the basics. Like, what kind of content do we want to be posting as a dental practice? And then you and I were talking about where to spend our time. You know, give us an idea of what, and then you also mentioned user-generated content. Can you explain? I mean, that's kind of three questions in one. But where do I start in what kind of posts in order to get found, get liked, and get patients?
Yeah, well, we already talked a little bit about Facebook and Instagram, and those are the two most important places that you need to focus for overall visibility. Okay. So if you can get found, you know, where people are spending their time, that's one of the keys. I think something important to keep in mind is that sometimes dentists are of the mentality, or specialists, that they don't need social media because they're getting a lot of patient referrals. Or they say, you know, who's going to be searching on Facebook for a new dentist? But that's really the search economy mentality. And what we have to think about with social is a discovery economy mentality, which means that many dentists and all sorts of different products and services are being discovered every day through social media, in particular on Instagram, through the use of different hashtags. So if you have a hashtag, you know, Denver, or hashtag Boulder, or hashtag, you know, Miami or Los Angeles or what have you, or generally more specific neighborhoods, even, someone might be looking to see, you know, who else is in town or what other people have shared in that area, and they can discover a practice or a specialist in that way. So if you're not active on social media, you're not participating in that discovery economy and losing out on that potential visibility.
Right. So it would be important to create a hashtag. And hashtags, I mean, you can determine, again, you can tell how old I am by this. You can create your own hashtags when you create a post that's unique to the content of the post, right? And it would probably be in your best interest to create hashtags per post. Are you saying that? Do you think that's a good idea?
Oh my gosh, for Instagram, of course. Yeah, you want to make sure that you're using a lot of hashtags, relevant hashtags, of course, and location-based are the most important ones. So what people can do is, they can create an Instagram account for free if they're not already on Instagram, and they can just enter in their town or their neighborhood and the word dentist and see what pops up. And you'll be able to see who's active on Instagram in your community. And that's where you want to be. You want to be visible and active where people are already spending their time. Yeah. So those are, you know, reasons for being on social media for visibility purposes. Once people find you, then you want to make sure that they like you, which kind of ties into some of your other questions that you had.
Right. Now, liking and following, describe what's the difference between liking and following. I don't know, but you probably know.
Yeah, well, we don't usually see a huge discrepancy between people that like a business page or a dental practice page and follow them. There might be some people who say, you know, I like you, but I don't want to follow you. Sometimes if you've overdone it on your posts or people, you know, just aren't interested in your content, they can unfollow you. So we would look for that. If there's a big discrepancy of people who like you but don't follow you, or who follow you and don't like your page. So there's a difference. Liking is almost like an endorsement, if you will, that they like your page. And following means, it means more in a way, because it means people are actually wanting to see your content and willing to see you in their newsfeed. So, and on Instagram, you would have all followers.
And just because you follow a business doesn't mean it's always going to show up in your feed, correct?
That's right. Yeah, that's all the algorithms on Facebook and Instagram that are essentially determining what type of content you want to see. Facebook and Instagram are taking a stab at, you know, what is it that you're most interested in? What have you engaged with in the past? Or, you know, clicked on photos to see more, or clicked on links and liked things or commented, and then they'll show you more of that same type of content. So the other way to get around that is by paying to get your content in front of people. And for some practices, even $10 or $15 can get you tremendous visibility. And as long as you don't overstep your bounds with that by keeping your face in front of people too much, because even the most lovable dentist, patients might say, I really like you, doctor, but I don't want to see you every day, you know?
Right. What are some of the content pieces that you see that are most liked by patients? I guess that's one of my questions. You mentioned earlier, you know, getting the team involved in a lot of these photos and an authentic expression from the practice.
Yeah, for sure. So once you're found, going with the book title, Get Found, Get Liked, Get Patients, then we want them to like your practice. And the way that you can get liked is by sharing your personal story, if you will, or the practice's story. And you do that through photos and video, and certainly talking also about the type of dentistry that you want to be doing more of, and we'll get to that. But photos are really important, and some practices are rocking it. They're active on Facebook and Instagram. They're taking pictures regularly, and they've got a good eye for, you know, how they want to present themselves and how they want to be perceived. And that's a part of what I call the visual economy that we're in. It's all about, you know, looking the part. Perception is reality. So some practices have that really dialed in, and other practices, they may not even have pictures of the doctor or the team on their website, which is, you know, one of the first things that I talk to practices about. I'm like, you have to have people, you know, allow them the ability to see who it is that they're coming in to see, and hopefully video as well. But having pictures of the team in your marketing on social media in particular, instead of stock photography.
Right.
So that's really important. You can take a look at Invisalign's social media. They are doing a great job, I think, of showing user-generated content you mentioned earlier, or actual patients that have been through treatment or are going through treatment, instead of stock photos showing, you know, here's this perfect image of whatever. People are really looking for real and for that authenticity today. And that's really where things are headed. And some practices are doing great with it already, and others are really going to be challenged by it because it's a big deal for them just to get, you know, one set of photos per year. So,
yeah. And user generated content, speak a little bit more about that, but basically you're going to be taking the people that you're serving and making them maybe the star of the show. Now you have to be compliant, right? With HIPAA and all those things. Can you speak about that? What user generated content is that's really good. And then that issue.
Yeah, for sure. And that really, you know, what we'll see a lot of times is people that are thrilled with what it is that you've done for them. So they're very complimentary of you, and your team are the ideal people to look for. And, you know, if they're not comfortable being in photos or in videos or telling their story about your practice, even at least getting them to share a positive review with you is a great place to start.
Absolutely.
But, however your relationship is with the patient, I think you can gauge how willing they might be to share a before and after photo of themselves or share a video testimonial, and or sharing it on their social media and just tagging the practice would be ideal. But you have to have the HIPAA compliant, you know, approvals, all of that consent in place. It has to be a signed written consent. A lot of the associations these days are providing a consent form that's been vetted by a risk management expert or a HIPAA expert or an attorney so that you can make sure that it's got all the correct verbiage on it. So I would recommend that you get, you know, one of those types of consent forms that's been vetted versus pulling something off of the web.
Yeah. And let's say I'm a dentist watching this and I go, Rita, I love this, but my team, we're kind of all introverts. You know, we're kind of afraid. Give us some suggestions. Mm-hmm. Do you just ask the patient, do you mind if I take a photo? Like, what would you, because I know you coach a lot of offices on how to do that. What would you say to that question?
Yeah, well, I think just the first thing that I always hear from practices that are doing really well with this is that they listen for compliments. So they listen for those patients that say, I love you guys, or I'm just so thrilled, or, you know, someone has a little tear when they see the after of, you know, what's been done. And then you acknowledge the patient first and make eye contact with them and tell them that, you know, this really means a lot to you. And then, you know, after comes that invitation or that conversation, and it might even be after the patient, you know, is out of the chair, you know, and on their way out the door, and you say, by the way, you know, you have this conversation about, would you be comfortable sharing your story with some of our other patients? And then just get a gauge for how they feel at that point, because if they're really, you know, oh, I'm not sure, then you might have to loosen up and maybe look for another patient, but start talking to patients and having that conversation. And the very first step is to watch for compliments and really happy patients.
That is awesome. That is our good friend, Lori Owens, who says, love Rita. On a forum I'm on, she says, an office manager states that they don't think he needs a consent to post patient pictures on Facebook. I say they're wrong. What do you think, Rita? Like, what's...
Just to clarify, did you say a doctor thinks he doesn't need patient's consent to post the patient's photos?
Yeah, I don't have my glasses, but it states the doctor does not think he needs a consent to post patient's pictures on Facebook. True or false?
That's false. You absolutely have to have a consent and a signed consent. And yep. I can tell you that's not just me, but I've actually had the pleasure of speaking alongside an attorney dentist.
Okay.
Dr. Michael Reagan. So I talk about social media and then he talks about social media risks. So I've heard from the attorney personally that you need to have a signed consent. And yeah, absolutely. And in fact, even from team members, it's a good idea for the doctors. I've heard from various sources that, you know, you're using a lot of your team for your content now. It's helpful to just have, especially if you're spending a lot of money on an expensive piece of video or something, to just get that consent in writing as well.
Yeah, now this is a terrible circumstance, but I did get this question a while back that if you have a team member and then they leave the practice and then they ask you to take all that down, are you obligated to take those photos down if the team member leaves?
Well, you'd probably have to check with an attorney, to be honest, because I don't know. It depends on the situation. Some people have said, well, if they're employed with you at the time, then that might be some other form of consent. So I don't know. But aside from that, then you also have that, you know, challenge of someone who's going to be somewhat disgruntled out there, depending on the situation. So making it really clear by getting it in writing is just saying, you know, this is what we're doing. And if you were to leave tomorrow and move to Hawaii, you know, and leave our practice, we're still going to use this piece of video.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's go back. You said something that I love. It's the story. You want to tell a story. Tell us a little bit more about, and how would I do that through photos or through posts? Like, what kind of a story? And give us a little help on that one, because I love that.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to answer two questions. The first one that you said, which was, well, let me address this question first. So how do you tell your story for practices that say we don't have the time, or we don't really, you know, we don't really know how to get our photos taken so that it looks like we're posting, you know, pictures of our team actively without it interfering with our practice and taking care of our patients. You can just schedule a day where you have a photographer come to your office and schedule a bunch of candid looking photos. And we do that with a lot of our clients. Have you had Janice Hurley on your show?
Yes,
you have, haven't you?
Yes.
She's awesome. So her consulting clients are really lucky because Janice has a great eye for photography and she actually takes pictures of her clients and we share some mutual clients and then we repurpose those images for their social media content. So that's what a lot of Instagram stars do. People sometimes think, you know, this person has an amazing life. They're on the road constantly. They must never work. You know, their life is so fabulous, but they'll go out on the set, if you will, or out to the mountains or wherever their beautiful island scenery might be that they're going for, and they'll take a variety of photos and then they spread them out over time. So it's, you know, again, perception is reality. And so for these practices, it's having someone come in, even if it's just for an hour, to take some various candid looking photos that are updated and, you know, that suit the branding of your practice. So that's one tip that I would share. You know, another part of your story is who you are as a human being. And some dentists and specialists are really comfortable sharing different things about their life outside of the office, and others are not. And for the ones that aren't, the things that we've come across, we had a dentist that said, I absolutely do not want my face on Facebook. You know, I take my picture for the website, but I don't want to be on Facebook. So I said, well, what do you do outside of the office? And he's like, I'm just a really boring person. I'm like, well, you must have something that you do. And different things that we've heard is we had one dentist who's really into cycling, and he would take these great pictures because I would be friends with him on his personal Facebook and he'd share these great images. I'm like, your patients would love to see this and know that you're interested in cycling. And so he'd say, okay, go ahead and post them. And sure enough, the patients loved it. There would be different pictures with hot air balloons coming up or a different tour on, you know, they were cycling in Italy or, you know, all these different backgrounds and telling a story through these images without having to have the doctor as the center of attention. There's lots of different examples like that. Another one that was into master gardening and had a picture of his dog with his fall harvest and didn't want to be the center of attention, but we could still share a little bit about the doctor's human side and his love of dogs without having to have the doctor in the picture. So there's a lot of different ways to craft your story professionally and showing some personality and some personal side of you without sharing anything that's private or uncomfortable.
Yeah, those are great tips because I never thought of it like that. Like you could actually just build a whole library of things to be posted later on that just, you know, and it's really, you don't want to pretend to be anybody you're not. Just talk about what you care about and express yourself naturally in this whole process. And it adds to your story, I would guess, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all about being authentic. That's really what people are looking for. Not only millennials, but certainly the next generation Z, you know, and anyone who's social media savvy. I talk about the perennials in my talk, which is a term that was coined by a blogger. I'll have to put her name into your comment section later and a link to the article. But she wrote about perennials, which is talking about people of all ages that have an interest in technologies, in social media, and they're keeping current. So, you know, when people say, oh, I'm too old for this, you know, I always talk about how it's not really an age thing. It's a mindset thing. And sometimes it's a time thing. You know, you may not have time or interest, but perennials are people of any age that, you know, are able to keep up with what's going on. And so I don't like to segment or box people and say young people are doing this and baby boomers are doing this, because we see people with from all different age groups with different interests.
Yeah, my 91-year-old grandmother is on Facebook, and I'm like, she's probably watching today. Hi, Grandma.
Grandma.
It's so much fun. I totally agree. Now, after we've done that, where people are finding us and they're liking us, a lot of people struggle in dentistry how to get patients. You know, do you just blatantly ask? Like, take us through this, because it's often weird. Or sometimes sales, they say, hey, look, call our office, but Help us through that transition in how we tell our story and attract the type of patients we're looking for.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for asking that too, because I think what I hear from some dentists is we've only been posting about birthdays on our social media. What else do we post about? And so a couple of ideas for you. And one idea I'll give you, which is a book my friend Rachel Maley wrote. I don't know if you've heard about Rachel Maley. She wrote a book, yeah. 365 days of social media content. So she's got an idea for every day of the year in there that you can post about. But one step beyond that is really thinking about things strategically. So when dentists or specialists come to us, we talk about what are the favorite types of procedures that you do? What would be your dream practice if you were doing a specific type of procedure or seeing a specific type of patient all the time? And what we see with some practices is that they're having a lot of fun with their social media, but they're really not being strategic. And if you want to get patients from your social media efforts, we may as well target, you know, and really put a focus on your ideal patient and the procedures you want to be doing more of. So you may not get 100 likes from posting about dental implants. You might if you run a campaign, or about your smile makeover or sleep dentistry options that you have. But as people are scrolling through your content, if they're considering becoming a patient, they should be seeing these different treatments and procedures that you offer that you want to be doing more of. So that's, you know, one of the first things to think about is, am I being strategic about what I'm doing with social media? And also, you know, knowing that people today are going to be looking at, you know, not only your fun type of content, but, you know, they need to know what it is that you have to offer and who is it that you're speaking to? Who is your ideal patient? So we want to think about who the patient is that you're trying to attract so we can make sure that we're providing content that's going to resonate with them. So those are the things that are really important when we start looking at how can we really do more with our social media or be more strategic. And then longer term, looking at how you know where your patients are coming from. You know, there are different ways that you can track where your patients are finding you. You can certainly ask them. A lot of practices ask on the intake form, who can we thank for referring? And they'll leave it at that. So they'll say, we're, you know, pretty much a purely based, referral-based practice. And they're not asking those other important questions on their intake forms, like, you know, have you seen us on Facebook, Instagram, Google reviews, YouTube videos, and particularly if they're online forms, people can just click through that. So they might say, my friend Kirk sent me, but yeah, I also saw you on Facebook, on Instagram, and I checked out your Google reviews and your YouTube videos. So we don't have that technology yet built into a lot of the software that shows us that information, but it's really important to start collecting that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I get the question, I don't know what to do with this one, but incentivizing patients, can you or can you not incentivize patients on the web or social media? What are there any regulations on that or not?
You really have to be careful about incentivizing patients. I'm glad that you asked that question. Did you say incentivizing for testimonials or for...
Well, I think in certain states you can't incentivize referrals, right?
Oh, yes.
You can't, and again, this isn't my area of expertise, so I'm just curious, you know, if you are going to incentivize, what are some of the best ways to do it? And then are there regulations or no-nos when it comes to incentivizing that you would just say, don't do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in general, I would say you have to be so careful about incentivizing. I know also that different states have different guidelines and different regulations with regard to what you can and can't do, but I think probably it's safe to say that universally paying for referrals or rewarding referrals is a no-no. And I know for sure when it comes to reviews, there's a great video I posted on LinkedIn a while back about the Federal Trade Commission stepping in from, it was a medical clinic, an emergency medical clinic that offered a patient like a $5 Starbucks card to write a positive review, and the patient complained about it on the local news, and the national news picked it up, and the Federal Trade Commission got a hold of it, and Yelp got involved because it was about Yelp. So that's a big no-no too. You have to, you know, really be aware of that. And a lot of practices just aren't aware, you know. So it goes back to, again, just really watching for those patient compliments and then opening that door for the conversation to either invite a review, a testimonial of some sort, and or, you know, just saying, we'd love it if you'd share our name with your friends or anybody who you know that might need a dentist, and maybe giving them something tangible that they can share to pass along. So you just have to be really careful. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's frustrating for a lot of practices, I think, because you can't just pay and get something done. You know, you can't just write a check for this and you get that, like an ad, you know, used to be, or a Yellow Page ad, or paying for referrals. But it's really working towards attracting, you know, those ideal patients to the ideal practice. And that's really what it's all about. It's authentic and it's real. And I think it's a good benefit for all in the long run.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for so many questions, but I get these. You can ask people to check in, right, when they come to your office.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And there's one office, a wonderful dentist that we work. Your name gets entered into a contest if you check in. Now, that's legal, right? You can do
that. I think that's fine. Yeah. And in fact, even I think that's still a fair option. You know, anywhere that you can offer people, if they check in on Facebook or on Instagram, they could tag you in their post, but you can offer them, you know, a little goodie. It might be just personalized lip balm, or some people have whitening pens, or, you know, all kinds of different little doodads like that. But the tip that I would suggest to everyone is that since every state does have different regulations and guidelines, most of them have their guidelines. They fall under advertising guidelines for different dental boards. And those would be usually published online today. So if you're not sure about, you know, what those regulations are for your particular area, you could just check online, and that way you know for sure, or message them and ask them a question. I've done that before in Colorado, where I've messaged the dental board and said, is this okay? And they'll let you know if it is or it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you're building your web, all of these social media platforms, probably the best way to do it is drive them back to your website, or are you going to ask them to call the practice? Do you have any thoughts on that? What's the best way to do that?
Well, if you're driving them to your website, we want to make sure that your website is conversion friendly. So making sure that if it's a post about implants and we're driving them back to the website, that you've got some good content there to support someone learning more about implants, that they don't have to dig through a bunch of content and then you've got like one paragraph about dental implants.
Right.
So we look at that. There's options now where people can message you through Facebook. That's going to continue to evolve with automated messages on Facebook. So people can literally communicate with your practice without it taking a team member's time. It's still evolving, but at least right now you can even get messages from patients and respond to them that way, or you can ask them to call your office. But most people today, you know, millennials and savvy perennials do not want to call and talk to a human. You know, they're like, just let me do something on my keyboard. You know, so there are tools now, like LocalMed, I believe, is the only one that allows you to share a link on your social media. So whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or Google Reviews, where people can literally schedule an appointment without having to talk to a human being. And then you get the benefit of that data saying these number of patients came from our Facebook page or from Instagram or our Google reviews. So that technology is starting to evolve to catch up to the needs that we have, you know, to be able to share a specific link in many different places online and know exactly where people came from.
Yeah, this is so awesome. And then again, if I'm a dentist watching this and I say, hey, look, I want to do this, Rita. Years ago, we used to say pick one team member to kind of own the responsibility, or a few. Do you still recommend that? Do you think that's a good idea? Or does everyone now share the responsibility of social media for the practice?
Yeah, I think it depends on your practice. For some practices, they might have one person in their office. I call them their chief trust officer, their CTO. Because sometimes people were like, oh, this is our Facebook champion or our Facebook, you know, manager, and they didn't really understand the level of responsibility with the position. So the skills to be a social media manager have continued to evolve, and it really is about building trust with your patients before they've even met you, or building trust with patients that are existing patients. So it's a more important role than I think saying this is someone who knows how to play with social media. Mm-hmm. And also they need to have skills like advertising and branding and online reputation today. So I think all of those things are things to consider when you're looking at having someone manage it internally, or maybe you need to have multiple people managing if you have a bigger team or multiple locations, or you might need to involve an agency for help.
Yeah, Rita, you are so awesome. Now, I know people are going to want to have your book. I'm going to get it. Now, where can we keep in mind there are people listening today that want that are on iTunes. How can we get a copy of your book?
Well, they can just visit my website, which is ritazamora.com/book. I think we might have a pop-up on there right now for the book for new people visiting. So that's the best way.
Yeah,
it will be on Amazon shortly, but we're getting it there.
You're big time now. That's awesome. And I'll just say this: if you have a study club and you're looking for an amazing speaker, you're going to see Rita's just classy. She's awesome, full of knowledge, and we just couldn't be more grateful to have you on the show. And I really, really appreciate it. And I want to have you back and take apart some of these other components that you're so good at. So thank you so much for being on. Any last thoughts you want to have just about the future? I'm always curious what's going to be the future in social media. Do you have any predictions as far as the future goes?
Oh my gosh. I think, you know, the future of social media is that it's still going to be around in the future. It's going to be a big part of our lives. It's already, as you've seen this with so many groups, it has really worked in a lot of positive ways and changed lives. And, you know, yes, there's been some challenges and hurdles with privacy and other issues, but be aware of what you're sharing and take advantage of the possibilities. Think about it in a positive way. I think it's going to be around for many, many years. How it continues to evolve and what platform we're going to be talking about in 5 years, no one really knows. So we'll see, but I'm hopeful with Facebook. You know, I really have a big appreciation and respect for Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg, and you know, so we'll see how things continue to evolve.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think they're on a pretty good path now and considering all things. And so we'll see what happens here. Yeah. So thank you so much, Rita. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you so much for your questions. And if there's things that you'd like to see from Rita here in the future, we're going to have her back and discuss some other issues. Please add them to the feed. Even as you're watching this, if you have questions about what you already heard, continue to add them to the feed. We want you to get the most out of this. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys have a great rest of your day.